No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
The NBA draft is only 3 days away. In 3 days, we know exactly the talent that the Chicago Bulls are going to be adding to this team to help continue to solidify a vision that they started last season. And while the Bulls have been involved in a lot of trade rumors and things around that, we're going to try to separate a little bit of that from the truth and talk about why it's important that AK and Eversley get this draft right. Plus, it's Sunday, so that means we're going to dive into the mailbag, all that and more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host, Der Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that said, let's go ahead and get into this content for today, y'all. And I want to start off talking a little bit about the draft, right? Like, we talked about it a little bit yesterday, just in regards to the players that so far have been kind of either commonly mocked to the Bulls, or we've heard some people say some things in regards to the Bulls being interested in them. But I think more than important than anything for the Bulls this draft is to get it right. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to know if they got it right away, right? Which I know there are going to be some Bulls fans that immediately after the draft going to be saying, oh my God, we got it wrong again, without the player you ever taking the court. And I'm going to be a little bit more optimistic than that, right? I am going to, because I realize that sometimes draft picks, like, they take a little while, right? But I want to see, like, what style of player are we adding to this team? How does it project for them to fit in? Because I think this draft is a very important one, because you are at, like, the juncture point, right? Where you have moved off of a lot of your former core. DeMar, Zach, Caruso, those guys are gone, right? And you've started building something new, but I think you're still trying to see how many of these players are going to be here after next season. We don't even know if Josh Giddey is going to sign his contract yet. It's expected that he's going to re-sign, right? But Kobe and Ayo, their future is still in question. P. Will is not really part of the Bulls equation anymore, right? Kevin Huerter, even Zach Collins, two players that we've added, like, we don't know if those guys are going to be here past next season. Julian Phillips and Daylen, they're still on the roster. They're going to be on the roster for a little while. Well, Daylen, at the end of the season, they're going to have to make a decision on his contract. But, you know, we don't know what their place is on the team going forward yet either. So while the Bulls have moved and changed directions, I think that we've kind of, throughout the conversation around a lot of this, that there are a lot of players on this team. We still don't know for sure how much longer they're going to be here. So I do think that nailing this draft pick to either solidify a little bit of the roster movement that you've made, and before you lock yourself into another core for sure. Now, I don't think that Kobe and I are both going to be gone. Hell, I hope that neither one of them are going to be gone. But as it stands right now, they're not. We don't know for sure what their future is with the Chicago Bulls team. We just don't know. There's so much up in air about this team, and while that does bring excitement, because it finally hopefully could mean and land the Bulls in the spot where we do start finally making some considerable movement around what we have on our team, like, this next draft pick that we make, both of these for that matter, in both the first and the second round, are hugely important to what the Bulls are trying to do here. So You know, those are things that you have to look at when it all comes down to that. And you know, so many, the only players that we know for sure have a contract after the season as it stands right now. Patrick Williams, Lonzo Ball has a team option. Modest Bouzelis is under contract, and Julian Phillips. That's it. As it stands right now, those are the guys that we know that we're going to have for sure, right? So many other players. Oh, and Jalen Smith. My bad. I did miss Jalen Smith. He's another one that has a contract at least for next year. Everybody else is on the chopping block. That may be too strong of a word, but like, we don't know exactly what their future holds for them. And so because of that, and because we're in this place now where the Bulls are in this junk, like, I think a lot of Bulls pundits, Bulls content creators have talked about it, is this like, yeah, we made a shift. This is now our core. Not necessarily true, because the Bulls have, and that may be by design, have left themselves into a spot where there still can be considerable pivoting done for this Bulls team with what this roster is going to look like going forward. So nailing this draft pick, adding another piece that helps solidify what the vision of this next version of the team is going to look like, and them actually hitting, is superly huge, important to this team. Now, one could go on to say, seeing what you got in Julian, seeing if Dalen and his growth next year is really going to be legit, seeing Io get back on the basketball court, Kobe and his chemistry with Josh Giddey, all those things are hugely important too. Make no mistake about it, but this is just a draft, especially when you're hearing about all the movement that could be around this draft, that the Bulls have an opportunity here to not only add a really good young talent to this team that fits in whatever the future holds for this team, but you also have chances to take advantage of some things. And that's where it gets into what I've talked about before, with this team taking advantage of the over $60 million in expiring contracts that they have, the flexibility that they finally have financially to take on a lopsided deal as well. Like, all those things play a part into what the Bulls have here and can do with their roster going forward. But all the potential in the world doesn't mean anything if you don't pull the trigger on something. And that's where a lot of the doubt comes in with AK. It always seems like, and again, a lot of this is rumor, right? So let's even say that 50% of it was rumors that were never going to happen. 50% of it is more true than not true, right? I'm not even going to say it's 100% true, but more true than not true. AK is missed on a number of deals because of just dragging his feet. This is an opportunity in this draft with all the player movement, all the draft pieces moving around, the teams that want to trade up, the teams that want to trade down, the teams that want to do something, the teams that have too many picks per not the number of roster spots that they have. This is an opportunity for the Bulls to be aggressive. And I'm not necessarily saying that I trust AK to be aggressive in that way, because I don't necessarily, to be 100% honest, because he just hasn't shown it consistently. But if this is a offseason where AK finally wakes up and, like I said before, actually starts GMing this shit, this could be a season where that Bulls future starts crystallizing a little bit better than what we've had before, and we could finally start seeing a vision for this team. And let's hope that's the case, right? It came out, like, and funny enough, CHSN pulled the episode, but there was an episode on there where Casey Johnson pointed out that there used to be times where AK last season was so frustrated by home losses, he had to watch the game from the Advocate Center. Now, I don't know how true that is or not. Maybe they pulled it because it isn't all the way true. I don't know. But to me, that hearing that, it made me feel two ways, right? The first way is, I'm glad that AK, if he cares that much about this Bulls team losing, that he was so frustrated that he couldn't be in the building to watch that product that was out there on the court at the beginning of last season. Great. But then at the same time, I'm felt with a little bit of disappointment, because it's like, okay, you feel that frustrated. How do you think fans feel? And then if you keep this team relatively the same yet again without changing the coach or anything else, but you fired your development coach, What are you seeing here? How can you be so frustrated by the result on the court to where you can't be in the building to watch games, but you're the man who has the power to make the change? Now, I get it. You have to have a trade partner to get that done. You have to have a partner to get any trade done and the trigger pulled on them. I understand that. I'm not going to act like it's just an ether where AK can just make any move he wants, because I know that's not it. But at the same time, if you're that frustrated, which then you should know that your fan base is that frustrated, you ask for patience at your season-ending presser, what is that patience how are we going to be rewarded for that patience, right? What is coming on the other side of that that's worth being patient for? That's where I start having questions at. That's where I start having doubts at. That's where I start getting frustrated at, right? So we'll see what AK has up his sleeve, if anything, and maybe up the sleeve isn't the right terminology to use there. But You have to, you're not gonna fall into a really good basketball team. Sometimes that happens. And maybe it does happen this year in the draft. If a player that is there at 12 ends up being one of the best players in this draft. But generally, around all sports, and especially in the NBA, you have to have a vision. You have to move within that vision. You have to have a focus, and you have to have goals. You have to try to set those goals. When you look at some of the teams and how the New York Knicks turned things around, right? They built something and then started tinkering after that. You look at the Indiana Pacers. They made a trade for Tyrese Halliburton, and they had some other pieces around there, but they have continually, the trades that they've made, all those things have made sense. The draft picks have made sense, right? So you have to be that team that either you got to get extremely lucky or you got to be extremely smart and you got to be intentional. And that's where AK has really dropped the ball at in a lot of ways. And let's hope that we're going to start seeing that. Maybe this starts coming for this team to where you start getting that intentionality that we so desperately need to become the team that AK claims he wants us to be. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what the future does hold. And hopefully that this draft is the first, well, I can't say the first step, but this draft is another step and getting us to that direction of where we have something. So, well, let's see what we do. But all right, it is Sunday. That means it is mailbag day. Let's go ahead and get into these voicemails. This one's from JB.
Hey, good morning, bro. Hey, this is JB from Evanston. Haven't called in a while, but always listening. Always enjoy your program, brother. So informative. Just a few thoughts about the upcoming NBA draft this coming Wednesday. In my opinion, I think it's not just a question of position of need. It's a question of skill set of need. And I think that leads me to say I really believe the pick, in my opinion, the best pick is Thomas Sorber. I mean, he will give the rim protection, the length. He has the wingspan, 7'5". I believe that he has the defensive potential that would really be what the team needs. And the other thing regarding that, I've never been a Vooch hater. I've always admired Vooch's durability. I mean, there's a season where Vooch actually played all 82 games. My thing with Vooch right now is that it's just time to move on, because of the direction that the team is taking, going young. And he just doesn't fit right now. So I think it's time definitely to move on from Vooch. I don't want to see him on the roster next year taking up needed minutes, particularly if we draft a big. I don't want to see Vooch taking those minutes. And even minutes from Jalen Smith or Zach Collins. I don't want to see him taking minutes from them. So lastly, I won't be mad if Cedric Coward would be our pick, or a player of that particular skill set or position. I have no problem with that at all. I definitely don't want to see a guard like most of the fans. But anyway, those are my thoughts, bro. I hope that you're having a great day, and take care. Peace.
All right, so skill set instead of need. I like where you're coming from with that. I do think that, like, the Bulls do need something. We need defense. And, you know, initially in the draft combine with the players that the Bulls set down and met with first, they were all players, or most of them were defense, right? The Bulls need some defense. We do need that. That is the thing. So many people, like, and I get it, offense is the easier thing to talk about than defense, and therefore it's going to get talked about a little bit more. Casuals can talk about offense more than they talk about defense because it's easier. It's like the more tangible thing because you have so many stats where you actually have to watch some things when you talk about defense. But Thomas Sorber, I do think, adds a lot of what the Bulls need. I don't think he adds everything that the Bulls need. I don't think there's any player that adds every single aspect of what the Bulls need, but Thomas Sorber brings a lot of that. He doesn't bring necessarily the switchability that like an Asa Newell has, but then he has more traditional size than an Asa Newell, right? He has more shot blocking ability than an Asa Newell, right? So those type of things. He's bigger. He's right. He's 260 something pounds. He's a center at the NBA level right away. Now, I don't think any rookie that we draft is going to start right away, not under Billy Donovan, but I do agree with you. I think you're spot on in regards to that. I think you're also spot on in regards to what you said about Vooch. Like, Vooch is a player that still has things that he is very, very productive at. But I think with the direction that the Bulls are going, as well as what we need now from the center with this version of the makeup of the team, especially if Kobe and Giddey are going to be your backcourt, it kind of just puts Vooch on the outs. And like I've said before, if the Bulls do draft a center, I can see a Vooch trade coming shortly thereafter, and you're not going to get the most amazing deal back for it. But at that point, I think it's just about creating more opportunity for the center that you have there, and we shall see. Now, as far as if Cedric Howard's the pick, I do think Cedric Howard could end up being a guard, but he could also end up being a small forward for you. And like you said, the defense, the catch and shoot ability, all those type of things, they're there. And, you know, there are a lot of teams that he's risen up their draft boards. And if he rises up to the point where that's who the Bulls take, I just hope that they get it right. But all right, let's move into the next one, man. This next one's from Rudy.
Hey, Hayes, what's up, man? This is my second time calling. My name is Rudy, but I go under my son's YouTube called Jacob. And I've been following the Bulls forever since we had Ben Polquette, Granville Waiters, Ed Neely, all those scrubs. So it's been a long time. I've seen the Brad Sellers draft and fucking Jeff Sanders and, you know, all that. Terrible. We've had so many bad. We need a...
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit Hims.com/Hail Mary. That's Hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. Hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
A whole new scouting department, man. We can't keep missing the Dougie McBuckets trade. Come on, we could have had Gary Harris and Joseph Nurkic. And, you know, I just want to say, I think if Memphis got so much for Bane, we can get a lot for Kobe or even Io. You know, those players aren't players we hold on to in case we build and they happen to be a player we keep. Everybody's for sale right now except probably Matas. And if we can get a good sign and trade for Giddy, we get rid of Giddy too, man. You know, he's got his limitations. I love him. He got hot real good, but he's got limitations too, man. The NBA is too fast. We need quick players at every position. And that's just my take, man. I say best player available at 12. Stop trying to trade down or up because you always make mistakes. And go Bulls, man. And you got so much good content, man. You know so much. Man. I like listening to you. Take it easy, man.
See, I disagree that fact that I don't think everybody's for sale. Now, I do think that you may listen to deals. You may be open into listening to if a team wows you on a player, then you get a deal that you feel like you can't miss out on. But I don't think that, again, saying that, I don't think everybody's for sale, but that doesn't mean that anyone's untouchable either, if that makes sense, right? There's that gray area between there. So, you know, we'll see, but you say like, oh, well, Kobe and Io, you don't keep the, no, like I said before, Io is absolutely the type of player that you think is expendable. Then the moment you're winning, you're like, you know what? We need an Io DeSumo type player. So, but again, that does not mean that you can't move those players in the right deal. It's just, like I said last night on last night's episode, the deal has to make sense. What you do then has to make sense. We have to see what you're getting from that deal that then puts you in a better direction, get you a better asset or something like that. Now, as far as trading up or down, you're right. I don't see it happening. I think the Bulls are going to stay the same. Now, trading back into the first is different than that. That's what I do think that could be on the table, depending on how aggressive the Bulls want to be in getting back into the draft. But we'll see what happens with that. We'll see what happens. But yeah, I just want to see whatever the Bulls do, that this front office moves with purpose. That's the thing that I want to see the most, and let's hope that we can see it. But all right, let's move into the next voicemail, man. This one's from TJ.
Yo, what's up, hey? This is TJ from Malone, man. So check me out, man. I've been doing a lot of thinking recently. Don't get me wrong. I understand everybody hate for P-Wheel, but a piece of me still got that little piece of hope for this man. Like, I don't even, like, I feel like I agree with you when you say he don't even need to be, like, achieve his superstar potential, whatever, right? I really just need this man to go back to doing what he was doing like 2 years ago. He was a 40% three-point shooter, and he was a pretty solid defender. I felt like if he could just really expound on his defense and get that three-point shooting back to where it was, that would be a good three to put next to Modest, like, in my opinion. I feel like with that, then we can start looking at more, more defensively impaired centers. Like, you don't have to be completely trash, but, you know, someone who's not really like that defensively, like a Derrick Queen, for example. That brings you to my question. Do you feel like if Pete Will can establish himself as the best defender, or at least the second best defender on the team, whether it's, I'm thinking more so all around defense, both perimeter and interior defense. If he can establish himself and really dig his heels down and be one of the top two defenders on this team next to Io, do you think that could open up, like, the pathway for us to get a Derrick Queen and not feel as nervous about his defensive upsides and or downsides? Like, yeah. That's pretty much all I'm asking, man. Let me hear your thoughts. I feel like if we could get Pete Will to be a good defender, I'm saying, bro, this is crazy. That I'm still putting eggs in the Pete Will basket, but I don't know what it is, man. I don't know. But I feel like if we could get him to be a really good defender again, we could have something with that thing potentially if you just slot in a Derrick Queen or something. Yeah, man, let me hear what you think.
I feel where you're coming from, right, with P. Will. But let me break it down this way. Even when he was a 40% three-point shooter, it wasn't on great volume. The volume was very, very low. So it's not like he was taking a tons of threes out there. It was on very low volume. So, I mean, and that's not necessarily negative. I'm glad that he was taking smart shots and not just jacking up threes. But I think that 40% could be a little misleading because it's not like he was taking high volume and hitting it at a 40% clip, which you're looking at it like, oh, my God, this is a great three-point shooter. He was a very efficient three-point shooter. And a solid defensive player. Like, when he was taking three-pointers per game, hitting, and that means he was hitting 1.4, right, when he was a 40% three-point shooter. So, and when he was a 50% three-point shooter, he was taking 1.7 three-pointers per game. So, like, it's very low volume. And I think that P. Will's defensive slide has been the most concerning thing. But the way that I look at it with P. Will is just this. I can't bet on P. Will being part of my future anymore. I get he has the contract, but I'm not moving things around or planning like, oh, we don't need this because we got P. Will. That's not where I'm at. Now, if he shows it in the time where he's still here and on the contract, great. It is what it is. But I'm no longer concerned about P. Will and making my plans around if P. Will works out or not, because it's too big of an if when it comes down to it. I think, like, when you mentioned Derrick Queen, like, it's not just Derrick Queen's defensive limitations that are concerned. Some of it is also the way that he scores with Kobe and Giddy being on this court as well. But to answer the meat of what your question is, at this point, P. Will is not part of my plans. He's on this team. And if he comes into training camp, great. If he gets his opportunities off the bench and he looks great, good, right? But it's no longer where I'm, like, planning on P. Will being this huge part of my team going forward to where I'm making roster choices based on my view of how P. Will is going to contribute or not, right? But let's get into this next one, man. This next one's from CP.
Theo, what's going on, Hayes? This is CP. And I got a question. So the Magic already traded for Desmond Bane, but Desmond Bane isn't a point guard. Jalen Suggs isn't a point guard. I don't know what the Magic are doing with, what's his name, Anthony Black. So I have a, so the question is, what if one of the guards on our team, maybe it's Kobe, maybe it is Io, maybe it is Lonzo, or maybe it is, maybe they do a sign and trade for, Trey Jones. You know, because they still need a point guard, in my opinion. I think your starting lineup would be obviously Jalen Suggs, probably at the 2 or 3, Desmond Bane, him and Desmond Bane in the lineup. Then you got Franz. I mean, then you got Paolo and you got Franz. Yeah, I think that would be weird. One of them or both of them would have to come off the bench, or they'd have to trade either Jalen Suggs, or they'd have to resend out somebody just bring in a point guard, because neither one, I don't think, in my opinion, I don't think Jalen Suggs is a point guard. Or maybe they don't need one and they just see it as Franz can run the offense. Franz can be Jokic, for example, and everybody else just plays off that. So Jalen Suggs can be the one, Desmond Bane can be the two, Paolo can be the three, he's the four, they bring in a five and then just run it like that. But tell me what you think. I don't know. I don't think Jalen Suggs can score like Jamal Murray, because that's how I think that the Magic are built. They're kind of built like that championship Denver team. But tell me what you think. All right, peace.
Jalen Suggs is their point guard because they don't need a traditional type point guard. And I don't mean this like, CP, you know, you've been around here forever. I don't mean this to come at you, but like in the way that you talked about that, I got a question. How much Orlando Magic basketball have you watched? Like to say that you're going to see Desmond Bane or Jalen Suggs come off the bench. Like, have you seen, like, they are a better team when Suggs is like, and Suggs and Bane actually make a lot of sense together. They don't need a traditional point guard. They don't need a Jamal Murray type point guard either. They don't need that because of where their scoring is coming from. Their lineup is very straightforward. It's going to be Jalen Suggs at the one, Desmond Bane at the two, Franz at the three, Paolo at the four, and Wendell Carter at the five. Now, I do think that they eventually are going to try to upgrade from that from Wendell Carter at the five, but like, I don't know. Like, and Anthony Black, make no mistake about it, I do think he has really good upside. I think he showed a little bit of that last year, but at him being 6'7", having really good size at the guard could be really good for them. But I think that you kind of overthought it here. Like, Jalen Suggs is their point guard because of the type of system that they run. And the way that they play basketball, they don't need that traditional type point guard. That's not what the way they're playing. And they're not playing the necessarily the Denver style either. So I think they're fine. I think they've set up their backcourt pretty well. They have some pretty good size there in the backcourt as well. But yeah, Jalen Suggs isn't the type where he's going to be running a bunch of the offense in the half court, but that's not really how they play either. But, you know, we'll see what happens there. If it moves to be done, we'll see. But again, I just kind of disagree with how you view how the Orlando Magic play basketball. But, you know, it is what it is there. All right, let's get into the next one, man. This one is from Bob. I'm sorry, Big Rob. Sorry, mix that together.
Hey, it's Big Rob from the West Side of Chicago. Many blessings to you, my brother. I have one comment and I have one question for you. My comment is Ace Bailey. Ace, I saw him play at Rutgers for a little bit, and he was solid, but nothing to make you say he's going to be a superstar, you know, him and, like, Dalen Harper, because obviously the team wasn't productive, then they didn't make the tournament. But the thing that bothers me is the fact that he doesn't go to these elite workouts, because it kind of reminds me of Josh Jackson. When the Celtics were interested in drafting him, he declined it, and it turned out to be they took Jason Tatum. I mean, obviously it worked out at the end of the day, but you would think, as I'm an agent, I would want him to go as many workouts as possible, which leads to this question. If he just so happens to fall in the bull spot, let's say at the 12, would you either consider taking him, or it's because of everything that's been happening with whatever his agent's telling him, or whatever he's telling his agent that he doesn't want to do, that is it worth the risk? Or do you feel like you should just move on and draft someone up like a Sober or a Wolf or, you know, a Coward, just as to name a couple people? Just tell me what you think, because honestly, I wouldn't draft a player who has no interest in something, unless something's going on. That's the only thing I can think of, unless there's something that we don't know about or if he's injured. But tell me what you think. Appreciate taking the time. God bless you. Have a great weekend.
If Ace falls at 12, you take him, no question. Hell, like we've heard before, if Ace falls past number five, I'm calling every team that he drops, that they're on the board, to see if I can move up for Ace Bailey. I don't give a shit. Let me just say, I don't care. I understand what happened at Rutgers. I get it. Like, but I think over the last couple of days, we've heard that it's not like his personality. It's more that he's maybe getting bad advice from an agent and things like that. But I think a lot of people have come out and vouched for who Ace Bailey is as a player. So I'm not too worried about that. If Ace falls, you take him. And you take, and then you run because you just committed highway robbery. If he falls for you at 12, I'm like, legitimately, I don't think there's any world in which that happens. But if Ace Bailey falls to you at 12, you just committed a robbery. You just committed a stick up. You got to get up out of there before the NBA police come for your ass because you just committed an absolute robbery if that's what happens. So that's my opinion on that one. So to answer your question, yes, if he falls to 12, you take him. If he falls past 5, 6, I'm calling every team that's on the board as he drops further down to try to move up to get him. So that's just my personal opinion. I know not everybody's going to share that, but, you know, we'll see what it does, man. Again, I don't think it's going to happen either way. But that's my thoughts for today, man. Make sure you guys are following us at Bulls Central Pod. You can send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, bullcentralpod@gmail.com. Lastly, if you want to leave a text message and or voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We are the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related, but that is thanks to you, lovely and beautiful people. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See you right if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help, you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.